Right. So we had an awesome weekend. We were in Pretoria this weekend. We were there at a conference called Planted, and we helped with we planted trees. We were there busy with. We were talking about planting churches and being disciples, and it was so great. It was so encouraging just to have the moment where we could just be in the Word of God and just receive the impartation. So it was really wonderful. And so I trust tonight really that the Lord, I'm so excited for the Word tonight, because I really believe that the Lord wants to come and impart something in our hearts. He wants to bring seed. You know, when you plant something, you first have to put it in the ground. And that's why I really believe the Lord wants to come and place something in our hearts tonight, that the fruit will be everlasting. That the fruit will bear much, much more fruit. So I'm excited. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Jacobus, and I'm a son of God. Amen. And I love Him really much. So I'm going to speak tonight. The sermon is Tasty Fruit. Everybody say Tasty Fruit. Okay. So, there's not a lot of stuff that I'm really fussy about, but when it comes to fruit and vegetables, I'm really fussy about that it mustn't be expired, okay? My mother will, she will always take that fruit and that apple that still has like this dots on, she will always still eat that. And I'm like, why do you eat that? It's fruit. Don't eat it. So, confession, I buy my fruit and my vegetables at Woolies. I know it's a bit more expensive, but then I can eat it. And I like fruit and I like vegetables, okay? So so tonight I'm going to speak about fruit, but not physical fruit. I'm going to speak about fruit in our lives. The Holy Spirit gave us fruit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And tonight I'm excited for that. Amen? And why I want to speak about this is because a couple of weeks ago, I was busy washing dishes, and that's also not very nice to do that, because I don't have a wife yet. I'm stepping on some toes. And first, I just want to apologize for wearing pluckies tonight. I didn't have time to go and put on shoes at home. Okay, but don't judge me tonight for wearing pluckies. Jesus also wear pluckies. Amen. Okay, so I was busy washing dishes, and Lord really speaks. He speaks to me a lot when I'm busy doing stuff that I don't like. But so I was washing dishes, and the Lord just said, "Jacobus, He said, "Jacobus, I don't want you to lose your love that you have for me because of your ministry, because of the work that you're doing." For those who don't know, I'm part in the ministry here at the church, and I work at the church. And when you start working for the Lord, it's so amazing to discover that as soon as you start working for God, everything is it becomes different. You know, when you just come to church, you're here to receive, and you're here to worship God, you're here to bring Him praise. But as soon as it becomes your job, it really becomes difficult sometimes. And the Lord just told me, Jacobus, whoa. I don't want you to go there, to that place where your relationship towards me just becomes another job description in your life. Okay? And then the Lord really, He shook my heart. And I was, whoa, what must I do now? And I immediately just went to start, I went to pray, and I left the dishes, and I went to pray. And then the Lord just, I remember the book that I was busy reading in Stellenbosch, and it speaks about having this passion for God and having this passion for Jesus. And I opened the book in this chapter. The Lord, in this chapter, it spoke about that passion that you have towards Jesus and loving Jesus and your relationship towards Him, especially if you're in the ministry. And He used the scripture in Song of Songs. Now, I know some of you think, well, that book is it's just about women and stuff, but it's not. You guys, that is, if you want a love letter from God, you must read Song of Songs. It's so amazing. And the Lord, and then the Lord just said, listen, Jacobus, when it comes to working and when it comes to doing stuff for me, it's all about having God still as your first love. And being out of that place of loving God, out of that place of adoring Him, serving Him as well. And that's difficult. That's a difficult where the line is. But it all comes down to what fruit am I bearing in my life. When I pack the chairs, when I am doing worship, when I am making coffee, what is the fruit that I'm bearing? Okay? That in Jesus, He spoke about that, and we know that in John 15. And tonight we are going to look at that fruit that we are bearing in our lives. Okay. And I trust the Lord really that because if we come out of the place of where we are just doing stuff, where it just works, where it's, I must be at church because I get paid to be here, in my case, then I want to say then we must not even come to church. Because the world is in a state that it is today because of Christians only bearing fruit 2 hours a week. The rest of their week, it's just dead works. And that's why, you know, I get so negative. And I cautiously, the whole time, I'm just saying, Lord, don't bring me also into this place of negativity. Oh, jy al weer gehoor wat het Zuma gesê. Oh, en hierdie en hierdie en... Did you hear what said Malema again? And pay back the money and all this stuff. You see, this weekend the same. I was there at I lived with my aunt. And it's so amazing. I said, hey, how are you? Wonderful, blah, blah, blah. And then the next conversation was immediately about the politics and all the negative stuff. And I had to say, Lord, whoa. My heart is becoming to get so negative towards this country and even towards just myself. And so it's all about the fruit. It must be tasty, eh? If we want to have fruit in our life, how do we get? Okay, so let's go to John, the Bible, John 15. If you have your Bible, I would love to just to open and just to... when we come to church, we bring our Bibles with. It's so cool just to read out of the Word of God. Alright. Oh, that's rien lekker. Yes. Alright. John 15 verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine and my Father, the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in Him, in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I have commanded you, that you love one another. Yo, and this is so powerful passage. It's so beautiful, this passage. And it sounds so easy, ne? If you read this passage, the whole passage is just about abiding in Him. Abiding in Him and you will love each other. Abiding in Him and you will ask and you will receive. Abiding in Him and you will bear fruit. So, it looks so easy on paper, but when it comes to our life, we find sometimes we get so easy where we are outside of Christ and we are busy with striving and we are busy with performance and we are busy with all these kinds of things. But the Lord is saying, come, abide in me and you will have everything. All right. So if we look, there's a few characters in this passage, and the first one is the vine dresser. You can just go on one slide. The branch. So this is, if people are not from the Cape, I know here in the Free State there's no vineyards, okay? I've been in Stellenbosch now a little while. It's full of vineyards there. So this is a vineyard, alright? This is very pretty. And you see the branch, there is a thick thing there at the bottom. Now what does this passage say? It says, Jesus is the branch, alright? So it means whatever comes out of that branch, you see the vines is that makes this thing, that is planted into the branch. So let's say the branch is cut off, will the vine still bear fruit? No. Okay, it can't. Okay, because the branch, what does the branch do? The branch gives the water, it gives the nutrients, it gives the all the stuff that the vines and the grapes need to grow comes from the branch, alright? So that's so easy. If I have a light, let's say I have a light and it's very dark in the room, and what must I do? I must switch on the light, okay? Then there will be light. And the power of the light comes from the Eskom, okay? So if there's not an Eskom, there will be no light, alright? So this is the same way. If there's not a branch, there will be no vine, grapes. There will be no grapes, alright? So this is so important that we need to understand this, otherwise we won't understand the passage. It's all about the branch. It's all about being in the branch, having everything, our substance, our energy, our love, everything comes out of the branch, and then it flows into the vine. And then when it flows into vine, then there comes fruit. Alright. It's so important. Guys, this is so important. Because as soon as we step out of the vine, as soon as we step out of the branch, then we die. Then the scripture says the vineyard comes and he cuts away and he burns. Right? God isn't interested in our works. The stuff that we want to make so that we can bear fruit. Alright. So the next thing is the vine that we see here. There is a vine, and then the vine maker. It is the vine dresser, okay? That is God, guys. The vine dresser is God. He's busy in our lives every day. He comes into our lives and he walks like that Umi. He walks in his vineyard and he looks at all the grapes. He looks at all the trees. He looks where there's dead branches. He cuts them off. Where the grapes is full, he picks them. He makes sure that there's no animals coming to the vines and all that things. He makes sure that he keeps his vines. He keeps his branch. He looks at his grapes continuously. He cares for them. All right. That is God in our lives. He's always at the outlook for what are we producing in our life, the fruit. And when we produce this bad fruit, he says, no, I don't want you to produce bad fruit. Okay, then he cuts it off, that's what scripture says. Alright, so it's all about abiding in Christ. But also that scripture said Christ must abide in us. If we see that Philippians 3 verse 19, Philippians 3 verse 9 says, and that we may be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Okay, so this, when God says, listen guys, I want you to remain in me, is there anything that we can do from ourselves to remain in God? Is there something that we can do? No. There's not a hole, a big black pit somewhere where we can jump into and then we are in Christ. Okay? This is what Paul says here. We are found in Christ because of the righteousness that Jesus has brought us. What does righteousness mean? It means to stand in right standing before the Father. So Jesus came to this earth and He died for us on the cross. He poured out His blood for us so that we can now be found in God, righteous, perfect. And now all that we can do is we can remain in Christ. But Scripture says also Christ must abide in me as I abide in you. So we must also allow Christ to abide in us, to have His fullness in us, to have the fullness of Christ in our hearts. We must say, Lord, my heart, everything in my heart, I consecrate it to you. I give it to you, Lord. Come fill my heart with you, Jesus, because I want to abide in you as you abide in me. I want to abide in you also. And that's so great to understand that there's nothing I can bring. There's nothing I can add to the finished work of Jesus Christ. The finished work that Jesus already brought us 2015 years ago when He died on the cross. He said, here is the moment. This is the moment where I can bring all of mankind into Christ. Because when Jesus died, we died with Him. Okay? When He rose, we rose with Him. So our position is no longer in ourselves. Our position is now in Christ. There we are founded. God doesn't look to us. He looks to Christ and then He sees you in Christ. Because if He looks at us as we are sitting here in our fleshly, carnal, sinful, evil heart state, He will not ever be able to put us into Christ. He will just have to cut us off. We all would deserve to be cut off and to thrown in the fire and to burn. Because out of ourselves, guys, we can never ever bear fruit that will be everlasting. We cannot do that. And therefore, God says, listen, the only way that you can abide in me is if Christ abide in me, that then it's the only way that I can abide in Christ. Because if it wasn't for the righteousness of Jesus, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, guys, we will all be in the fire. And we will be bad fruit and we will be bad people. So that therefore, God must see us in Christ. Then we can bear fruit. Right? And therefore we are so thankful for Jesus. We are so thankful for what He has done for us on the cross, for giving us His righteousness. You see, when the son came back, the prodigal son, what did the father do? He clothed him with a robe of right. He gave him a robe, He gave him a ring, and He gave him shoes. And that is the same way, guys, where God is here, Jesus, He is our righteousness, all right? He is our righteousness. When Jesus looks at you, sinner, He doesn't see you, He sees Christ in you. Okay? When He looks at you, Tiens, He doesn't see Tiens, He sees Christ in Tiens. You understand this principle, guys? Because if God looked at me, Jacobus, who I'm standing here, and I'm without Christ, you see, it won't be possible for me to do anything. But now He sees me in the blood of Christ, in Jesus Christ's righteousness. And therefore, I can be a son. Therefore, I can know that I can bear fruit. All right. It's a place where we just can say, Lord Jesus, I know without you, I can't do this. Guys, and I am just so tired of trying the whole time to bear fruit out of myself, striving. Because what does it do? It makes you tired. And this afternoon, I didn't have that much time to prepare for the sermon tonight. But this afternoon, and while we were driving, I was driving the Quantum all the way. And I just prayed, and the Lord gave me this image for us tonight. And I saw this image of us walking, and it was almost as we picked bad fruit from the floor, we picked it up, and then we used sellotape and plasters and bandages, everything, we tried to tape it on us. Do you understand the picture that I want to give you? And we were all walking with this is my fruit, almost in a basket. And we were so envious about the people around us. We were just walking with my fruit. But we were all scared almost that I'm going to drop my fruit. And if you drop it, you picked it up again and you use something stronger like super glue and you put it again against your body and you try to walk like that. And that is so, therefore I'm so glad that the Lord really wants to just, He says, remove all that. And in that moment, the Lord reminded me of the story of Pinkenolsi. Who heard that story? Pinkenolsi? What is it in English? Pinkachuli. What? Okay, but it was about this. I remember when I was a small boy, I got that book from, I think I got it for Christmas, something, and yeah, I read that book over and over and over again. And for those of you who don't know, it's about this VMR. I don't know the English for it. It's like a small money key. I think I have a picture. If you can just go on. Ooh. No, there is. How do... Just go on. Yes, there it is. Okay. There's the guy. His name was Pinkenolsi. What happened? Just briefly. They were in this town and they all were this wooden people keys, small wooden men. And they would walk in the streets and they had their box of stars and they had their box of dots. And then they would walk, and if you did something good, let's say you could jump or you could sing very nicely, they took the star and they placed it on you. But if you did something stupid, they took the circle, the dot, and they placed it on you. And it was so funny. I looked, Lord, why are you reminding me about this story? And I think this is exactly when it comes to that, just that image. We as Christians are busy judging each other's fruit. The Lord said to me, whoa, Lord. You see, that she can pray louder in tongues, or he can pray for people and then they will be healed. And that guy, oh, he's an intercessor, eh? And in that moment, we are just busy doing exactly what these people are doing. We are rating people according to their fruit. We are saying, yo, Belinda, well done, eh? Jy is so goed met admin, jy is so goed met organizing, jy is a star. And then in that moment, envy comes into our heart. Striving comes into our heart. When Jan prays and he's such an intercessor, you know, but when he starts interceding, you know, when sometimes it just happens in our hearts where we say, Lord, wow, why? He can pray so good. Why can't I pray like that? Hey? You know, Yoni can sing so beautiful. Why can't I also sing like that? Sneaky, sneaky, the devil comes in. And he tries, he's busy actually let us, each other, just putting dots and stars on each one of us. And guys, that was the picture that the Lord gave me when it comes to this fruit. And then we are busy, we are picking up fruit in the gutters and everywhere. And we are striving, we are one to making this fruit. And when I speak about fruit, I'm speaking about gent, I'm speaking about what people see in our life. When we walk into Checkers and we're going to pay for our milk and our bread, what fruit are we then showing that person? Is it friendliness? Is it happiness? Is it, wow, thank you for your service? Or is it just check or savings? Check. Bye. Huh? You see? That's what I'm talking about when I'm speaking about fruit. I'm not speaking about apples and pears and bananas. And I was so struck in my heart because I'm really preaching this sermon actually to myself also many times. Because, you see, we have the ability to say, Lord Jesus, I'm so tired now. I'm really so tired. And I've been driving very long hours to come to Bloemfontein. I didn't have a lot of sleep, blah, 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 all this stuff. So I have the right to be unhappy now, and I'm the right to show it on my face that everyone can see. You see? And that is exactly not what God wants us to do. Okay? Because abiding in the branch means we're coming to a place where we are dead to ourselves. We are dead to ourselves and our fleshly desires and who we are. And in that story of Pinkenolsi, the story goes on, and then he met this one girl. Her name was Lucia. Lucia? And she didn't have any dots or any stars on her. She just walked, and he went to her and said, why why don't you have any stars, or why don't you have any dots on your, it's so weird. And when the people tried to put on the star and put on the dot, it just fell off on the floor. And she said, because I'm going to Eli, and he was the wood maker, every day I'm going to Eli. Okay? And if we want to bear fruit that's everlasting, I believe there's three things that we need to do daily. Daily. And the first one is we need to have a hunger for God. We need to be so hungry for God's presence. And as you are in His presence, you say, Lord, I'm more hungry now. Okay? It's a place where we never can come where we say, Lord, I'm satisfied. Wow. You know, when you have a nice pizza and a lekker, then you just say, oh, ek sin versadig. You see, we can never come to a place where we say, Lord, I'm versadig. Alright? We need to be so hungry. Matthew 5 verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Can someone tell me? I don't know. I'm joking. Okay. Okay, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. To be a poor in spirit practically means this. When you're driving your car and you see a beggar on the street, what does that beggar do? He stands a whole day on that street for someone to extend grace to him, to extend 5 rand, to extend a broekie or a juice. The whole day he's standing there with his hands open like this. He says, please help me, I'm hungry. If you don't give me something today to eat, if you don't give me something today to drink, I will die. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. And in the same way, we need to be like that. Because what the scripture says, for this is the kingdom of God. If we are poor in spirit daily, we stand up, get out of bed, Lord. If I don't go this day with you today, I'm going to die. If I don't spend in your word today, and if I don't receive from you, and remember, it's not about ourselves now. It's not about me. It's about bearing fruit, because God says He appointed us to bear fruit. Guys, this is not something that we just do somewhere now in Dani. In John 15, later we will see, He said He appointed each one of us to bear fruit. See, Romans 8 says the whole world is eagerly waiting for the revelation of the sons and sons and daughters of Christ to stand up. The world there out is waiting to see our fruit. They're waiting to see if someone pushes in front of you in the traffic. The world is saying, what are you going to do? Are you going to? And I did it. I didn't have great fruit. The other night we were driving in Pretoria, and there was those Malbai men in Pretoria, and there's lots of cars. And then we were patiently going in the queue, and then all the taxis and all the other cars, they come right in front and they push in. And then the one guy wanted to do that, and I was like, no, you're not going to push in yet. And I drove a little bit forward, and then Yoni says, oh, he kind of did though, didn't he? And I was so convicted. But you see, there, exactly that is where the devil says, okay, what fruit are you going to show here now? Okay? Okay? I can say, yo, bless you. Kom maar in. Stap je bietjie terug. Verstaan? Or you can say, no. I'm going to be late for planted. And now you want to push in front of me. You see, that's not the fruit that God wants us to show. He wants to say, no, bless you, man. Kom. Jy sê, dan rol jy sommer die tapijt vir hom uit, dat hy net so kan uitgaan. Okay. And then in Matthew 5 verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I looked in the Bible if there's ever a place where it says you will not be hungry and you will not thirst anymore. The same what Jesus said to the ask and you will receive. Knock and it will be open. What's it? There the end? Ask. Seek and you will find. Okay? So it's a place in our life where we must just accept that God will always keep us hungry. He will always keep us thirsty. He says, if you are thirsty, ask and I will give you waters. And that waters will become into you a spring of living waters that will burst out of you. Alright? So I think this is God's, how he like tricked us to just keep on seeking him and keep on loving him and keep on just searching for him. He will always give us this spirit that is poor, and it can only be fed by the God. It can only be fed by our word. Are you reading Bible every day, guys? Are you praying? Are you worshiping God daily? Are you living a life that is filled with God? Okay? That is where we can say, Lord, now, so the first thing is we need to be hungry. Like Pinker Nolsi, every day he went to Eli, his maker, and he said, and what did his maker do? He just gave, Eli just spoke the truth over that little maniki with the dots. All right, the second thing, a consecrated life. Guys, consecration is so important. I just want to read a quote in the book. It says, because she has decided, so Pinker Nolsi, he asked Eli, the man who made them, he asked them, why is all the dots and the stars falling off of Lucy the whole time? And then Eli's response was this, because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. And now he's speaking about Eli, like she said, actually what God thinks of me is way more important than what the other people thinks of me. Okay? The stickers only stick if you let them. What? Then Pinker Nolsi said, what? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about the stickers. Okay? And that's how, the more we abide in Christ, the more we grow deeper into Christ, we will not care anymore what the people think or about my fruit and how I am praying and how I'm worshiping in front and how I'm going on missions, because we will just grow deeper into the love of God. We'll be focused on God, okay? We mustn't be focused on what the other people do in the church and how great they serve the Lord. We must just say, Lord, I want to serve you and I want to love you. And that is having a consecrated life, guys. Consecration is so important, and that is what we spoke about it, but in briefly, it is actually just saying, Lord, I'm extending my hands, and I say, Lord, I don't want anything else on my hands. I don't want anything else in my life than you. It's when you go into an exam room and you're going to a writing exam, you say, Lord, I consecrate this exam to you. What are you saying? You're saying, Lord, I pray that you will fill this exam with you yourself right now. When you walk into a meeting, when you're going to call someone, you say, Lord, I want to consecrate this call to you. When you pack out chairs. When you pack out chairs, when you set up the projector, when you call someone for the small groups to come join us. You see, it's a small thing, but that small thing can determine if that fruit of that call or that fruit of packing chairs will be everlasting, or will it just be dead works and it stops at the moment when you press the red button on your phone. You understand this? This is what it means to have a consecrated life. Guys, I want to say, God is calling each one of us. He said, in every area of your life, I want you to be consecrated to me. In your finances, in your giving, in how you even put on your shoes in the morning, how you make tea, how you shower, everything, guys, because what it literally means is you are setting yourself aside. You're saying, Lord, no more myself, no more myself, no more what I want to do. You're saying, Lord, here's the crown. I'm taking it off. You have the crown of my life. You have the authority. You have the will. You reign in my life. I don't want to reign in my life anymore. I don't want to think what I want to do. I don't want to have my dreams. I don't want to have my hopes. I don't want to have a great big house or buy a moi car. Because that is a place of consecration where we decide. And look, guys, this is where Jesus says, pick up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow me. This is what consecration is. Where daily we say, Lord, I deny myself. I deny my own desires, what I want to do. Right. And then, what happens? Ta-ta-ta-ta. Christ is full then in us. His fullness is then in us. You understand? You understand this? Say amen if you do. Amen. Okay. And that's what happened in the Old Testament with what's his name again? Aaron. Okay. they went and they had to sacrifice a goat, and then they took the blood of that goat. Just look how prophetic this is. And they took the blood and they put it on his right ear, on his right thumb, and on his right foot, toe. And that just means symbolically, say, Lord, my ears, what I'm hearing, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to hear, when people start talking about how negative and how bad this country is, Lord, but when I'm consecrated, I cannot listen to that anymore, because my ears, what I hear, what I think, it belongs to you now. My hands, what I'm touching, where I'm going with my hands, what I'm opening with my hands, what I'm pressing, the mouse, the phone, everything that I put my hands on, Lord, I cannot use it for my pleasure anymore or my to satisfy myself. See, guys, it is my hands belongs to God. Where I'm putting my feet, where I'm going to work, where I'm walking into a meeting or whatever I'm doing, Lord, my feet. So it means wherever I go, I'm living a consecrated life. So it means wherever I go, the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of Jesus is in me. And when Christ is in me, what happens? Fruit comes out. Okay? So the more we are filled with Christ, the more we start living a consecrated life, the more Jesus is in us and the more he can get out of us into other people's life. Okay? When you fill a bucket with water, the water won't be poured out until it comes to a place of overflowing. Otherwise, the water will just stay in the bucket. Okay? But that's why what Psalm says, he fills our cup still overflow. Ne? Was it in the Psalms? So guys, this is so base. This is the principle where it says, Lord, whatever the heart is full, wat ook al jou hart van vol is, loop die mond van oor. Whatever your heart is full comes out of your mouth. Okay? So I want to ask us tonight, what are we full of? What are we full of? Just think there where you're sitting now. Lord, what is my life being filled with? Is it being filled with, oh, ek het al hierdie swat things wat ek moet doen, and oh, I must do all these things, sport, work, great. But it must be filled with Christ, and then all the other things will follow. Because when it is full of Christ, he said that is the standard then in our life. When we say, Lord, I'm filled with you, my hands is full, there's nothing, I cannot hold anything else in my hands than you, Jesus. Not trying to hold with your pinky, you hold there the one hand. Oh, my ouers, hulle gaan nou deur 'n egskeiding. Oh, nou probeer ek dit ook nog uitsort. En oh, hierso, English, sorry. I'm struggling with my academics. So as soon you see that picture that God gave me, then we were busy putting all this stuff on us and we have to carry it now in our life. And what happens? Guys, we get so tired. We get exhausted. We get so exhausted because it's striving. It's dead works. Okay? And God doesn't love, he doesn't like dead works. He really doesn't like that. Okay? Because he knows what dead works do in our life. It makes us dead and it makes us tired and it makes us exhausted. And oh, and you see what happens then is we started being offended with everyone. And jy moes nie die blik daar gesit het nie, jy moes hom daar gesit het. You see all this nitty gritty stuff becomes in. Okay. So I just want to ask you one question, guys, tonight is, what are we full of? What do we allow to fill our lives? I think that's also a good question. Okay, do we allow all the negativity of the world and the news and my teachers' opinions? Okay, or are we filling our lives with the Word of God and with Jesus? Okay, and then it becomes easy to bear fruit. And I'm still learning. I'm really still learning. I'm not at a place where I can say, I've got this, got the T-shirt, great. Oh, alles uit my lewe uit is net maal goeie vrug. No, I'm not there. But I know God is drawing us there. He's drawing his body there. That's why he said a couple of weeks ago, he told me. He didn't tell me to make me feel condemned or feel guilty and, oh my word, now I must be saved again. You see, he says, okay, I want to learn you. But in everything that you do, you'll be full of me and the fruit out of that will bless other people. Because guys, that is the ultimate thing that we have been called for. Our fruit must testify of Jesus' goodness in our life and who we serve and who we are loving. The third one is, and therefore Hebrews 10 verse 24, just listen how amazing the scripture is. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. We must help each other to stir up our good works, our good fruit. We must say, not trying to be envious now, not handing out stars or handing out dots, but we must be as bodies in Christ, body as Christ, stir up each other. Say, well done. You see, recognizing what Yanni said in the beginning, recognizing the ministry that God has called each one of us, because I believe each one of you here tonight have something to bring to the body of Christ. God gave each one of you a gift. Each one of you. You're not just here to sit and to hear me speaking. You're here to bring something that is stirring up. That is stirring up. When, praying for each other. When you see, when it's going bad, just to say, I'm praying for you, I've got your back. This is what God is. And then the next scripture, 25. Not forsaking or neglecting the assemble together, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, it says warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Guys, if we can come to a place where we say, Lord, wow, it's so easy because I have to just to deny myself daily, and then God sees me in Christ. He sees the righteousness that Christ has given me, and then I don't want to now start producing fruit. I don't want to be fake. It's not a thing about being fake. It's just about a thing of knowing our position. If we know where we are and in what we are, and whose we are, then the fruit will come. It's something that God, you see, John 15 at the beginning said, He is the branch. The vine dresser is the one that brings the fruit. God is the one that makes the fruit in our lives. All right. I want to conclude with just one more scripture. Why is God calling us to bear fruit? Why is God calling and telling us tonight that, listen, I don't want you to run around and pick up all the dirty fruits and trying to build your own fruit in your life? I believe, if you can just go on one scripture more. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I commanded you, that you love one another. And then the next scripture, our last scripture. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is why God says, guys, come. This is why I want you to bear fruit. Okay? So that your joy can maybe full. And happiness, we get confused between happiness and joy. But happiness is based on our circumstances. Joy is based on our relationship with God. It's something that must never change in our life. Our joy cannot be one day more and one day less. That is happiness. Okay? Now I feel happy, now I feel sad. Joy is so, it's rooted in God. It's rooted in what Christ has done for us. God says, listen guys, I love you so much. I've gave Jesus for you for one reason, so that your joy may be full. See, God wants us to live a life that's full of joy. He wants us to live a life that's freedom. Amen. Okay. So while the band comes up tonight,
I really trust that the Lord wants to come and shake our hearts. And I want you to take out a paper, a piece of paper, or your phone if you don't have a piece of paper. And I just want us to start asking God, Lord, where is the areas in my life that I am still trying to produce fruit? Okay? Maybe you are still struggling with self-piercing or patience, areas like that. Just ask, Lord, where is those areas in my life where I'm not in the vine, but where I'm trying to strive, where I'm working, where I'm running around and picking up. And I believe there's some of us here tonight where we just have to release. We have to release situations, circumstances, family members, studies, finances. We have to release it so it can get out of our hands so that only Jesus can be in our hands. Right? Because we cannot do God. We are not the Holy Spirit. We cannot work as the Holy Spirit in people's lives, guys. You see, the Lord just says, abide in me, and then all the other things will come. So I just want us to, you know, just spend time now in God's presence and just ask Him, Lord, where is that areas in my life that I need to release? And also then I want you to look into your heart. And look, just ask the Lord to reveal to you, where am I bearing fruit, but where am I just actually doing dead works? Where is that areas in my life where what I'm doing here is just full of dead? It's just bad fruit. It's not tasty fruit. The Lord will remove that because He's the vine dresser. And I believe He wants just to come and take away that striving. Some of us here tonight, we are striving. Some of us is still striving to just earn the presence of God. You're striving. You're working. You want to earn you want to earn the love of God. You want to earn to be in His presence. You think if you start serving and you're doing all these things, then the Lord will accept you. The Lord wants to remove that in our life. He wants to remove that. So just ask the Lord that He will show you.